Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with Hal Ketchum, a country star. It's an honor for me to talk to you, sir. Love your music.
Thank you.
Still listen to it all the time. But you're coming here to the Birchmere, right?
I am. I can't wait. That's my favorite place to play in the world. I mean, it's just all it's like all like a family reunion every time I get in that place.
How many times have you played there?
I couldn't tell you, man. I could hide my own Easter eggs at this age, so it's hard to tell.
But why do you love the Birchmere so much?
Again, it's just all my friends work there, and everybody's in such a great mood all the time. And Gary, of course, the owner, is an old dear friend of mine, his best friend. So
yeah,
it's just an absolute pleasure. And John, the hospitality guy, and the sound guys are great. And you can't beat it. You just can't beat it.
Absolutely. And when if our listeners are hearing this and they grab some tickets and come out there, what can they expect to hear? Will they hear some of the old hits? Maybe some of the new album? What is it? I'm mm-hmm. The Troubadour was your latest one, right?
That's correct, yeah. And, I just mix it up, It's a pleasure to have that, a really good back catalog. I mean, so I can pull out, I can pull out Mama Knows the Highway or Stay Forever or whatever. And then I can do like The Saddle, which is off the new record. Or, it's a pleasure just kind of mix it up, kind of go off the top of my head and get her done. And, Kenny Grimes has been my guitar player for about 15 years now. And this guy is as good as it gets. And we travel well together. We enjoy one another's company. And so it's just always a pleasure.
What makes
and it's always a good house there.
What makes Kenny so special on the guitar?
The imagination is beyond words. I mean, you can't rattle this guy. You can come up with anything, and one night it'll be whatever. He's just fearless.
That's awesome. Fearless and awesome.
And a dear, dear friend. Yeah.
Absolutely. We talked to Joe Diffie and Sammy Kershaw. I think it was last week or the week before because they were coming up. They played the Great Frederick Fair up here, and we talked to them. And they were talking about how he said that he thinks that country music has changed a ton since when you guys had all your huge hits. Like I'd say all through the 90s, you guys were just rocking the radio.
Well, Joe and Sammy, I mean, we're all alumni, basically. We all kind of grew up in the same category. And back in my day, it was more about the singer-songwriter and really expressing yourself, to the best of your abilities. And I think it has changed greatly. I mean, I don't hold anything against these kids.
Sure.
In that, they just speak in a different language.
Right.
It's all about, shake your tail feathers and mildly embarrassing stuff to me. And, sometimes I get so cranky about it, I like to say, I think they should just burn it all down and start again. But that's just an old man's outlook on life,
Right, right, yeah. I mean,
more power to them, man. If they're reaching out and touching people, that's good enough, man. That's what music's supposed to be about.
Exactly. Yeah, it seems. Yeah, every generation, I guess, has its own new form. So,
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I'm kind of with you though. I kind of miss the old singer songwriter because to me, country music is at its best when it's at the it's all about the storytelling, man. You listen to the song start to finish to hear the whole story.
Absolutely.
It's
like a good song to me. It's like a 3-minute movie.
Yeah.
The curtains part, and you invite people in, and you sit them down and say, just as gently as you can, I got a story to tell you. And I think it's relatable that way. I honestly do.
Absolutely. You mentioned, I don't want to get into some of your songs too, but because you mentioned movies, didn't you have some appearances like, what was it, the Chris Columbus movie, Heartbreak Hotel? He's like, you're digging deep, man.
Oh, my friend. I tell you what, that was one of the silliest things I'd ever experienced in my life. It took, we blocked off an entire street in Austin, Texas, and was supposed to this little honky tonk, and I was the villain in this thing, and I had these ridiculous sideburns that were like glued on, right, and huge, and it was just hilarious. It's mildly embarrassing.
That's funny,
but hey, what do you do, man?
But you also did a little brief appearance in that Mel Gibson movie too, right? The Maverick.
I did, yeah. I mean, Danny Glover and I robbed a bank. And it was lovely because I got to be friends with Danny, and I got to hitch a ride. I was playing in the Great American Music Hall in San Francisco the next night, and so I bummed a ride on the Warner Brothers jet and flew back up there with Danny and read him excerpts from Leaves of Grass of Walt Whitman.
Poetry.
So, yeah, we got to really connect, and a very gentle soul. The funniest part of the whole process was, though, when they opened the door and we got off the jet, right, got down the stairs, we were both so stoved up from riding horses all day, right? Yeah, we were just like two of them. It was like Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau, you know, just kind of. And we roared about it, but it was it's always a pleasure. I just did an indie film. We filmed it at the Devil's Backbone.
Oh, awesome.
The tavern here in town.
What's it called?
What is it called, darling? Lost Highway.
Oh yeah, okay.
And it's really, this guy did an exceptional job. He wrote all the songs for it. He directed it, I think that one's going to turn out pretty darn well.
Do you remember who the filmmaker was?
Jeff Mix.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting piece. Check it out, man. There's a trailer out on it now, right now. So.
I will definitely look that up. How did you get involved with that? Did they reach out to you?
Yeah, Jeff just called me. You know, he was trying to get Guy Clark, but Guy's not feeling too well
right
at this point in his life, so... So he just called me out of the blue, and I said, sure, man, yeah. He said, you need me to send you a treatment you want to read about? And I said, yeah, you want to send me a script, that's fine. But it was fun, and it was me and Jack Ingram.
Yeah, yeah.
And Gerf Morlicks and just a bunch of whacked-out singer-songwriters. So it's an interesting piece.
That's awesome. Well, there you go. We got the Hal Ketchum movie star a couple minutes on that. That's awesome.
Yeah, right.
All right, we'll pivot it back to what you said about that country music is the best 3-minute movie. So there you go. We'll get back on track here a little bit. But I mean, it's absolutely true. Like what you said is it's a good song should tell the whole story like a mini movie like that and paint that visual picture. Which songs kind of taught you that when you were growing up listening to country? Were there certain artists that really made the impact on you?
Oh, of course. Absolutely. And they were, well, my dad had a wonderful record collection. And we had Buck Owens, of course. We had Merle Haggard. And we had the modern sounds of country western, Ray Charles, classic thing. And I would lay on my belly as a little kid and thumb through the records. They're all leaning against the wall, basically. And Buck Owens and the Buckaroos and the Sky Blue Nudie Suits. And I said, you know, middle of winter in upstate New York, and I said to myself, that's my window to the world right there.
I got to do that.
That's my way out of this, right?
Yeah.
So, and luck has a lot to do with it, you know. I've just been very, very fortunate.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I do deliver, man, you know. Every time I get up there, somebody hires me to do the job, I do the job, so.
That's awesome. Well, you know, if there's it's got to be almost, you have to pinch yourself a little bit, but, I mean, you're sitting there listening to Buck Owens and, you know, Ray Charles and all those guys, Merle Haggard, but, you know, if you draw a sort of the line in the timeline, you have your own spot in there. Small Town Saturday Night,
Pass the Point of Rescue.
I mean, that's you'll still hear those songs played, you know, on radio, maybe on the weekend or something.
I think it's wonderful, absolutely wonderful. I mean, because you know, the digital, you know, the world has opened up. I mean, it's a world of computer now, and people can access any of this material at any time. Day or night.
Does that kind of make it, in a way, a little more it allows your songs to be a little more timeless because it you can pull it up digitally and you don't know when it came out, but hey, we're listening to it.
You can keep it alive. You know, it just keeps the music alive, and that's all we're all trying to do anyway.
That's awesome. Could you tell me, let's go into some of those big hits if you don't mind. Like, where do you remember?
Sure.
Do you remember where you were when you came up with "Past the Point of Rescue"? Because that song is just so awesome.
That was written by Mick Hanley from Kilkenny, Ireland, and my wife was a publisher at Jack's Tracks, and where we did all the recording. And she just brought that song home one night and said, listen to this thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just the most moving poetry. I mean, it could be written and hung on the wall, you know, regardless of the melody.
Yeah.
It's just that masterful a piece, you know.
Yeah.
So, Mick, I mean, I just went, sure, I'm in. And, again, the band I had at that point in time, you know, I was cutting with Richard Bennett on guitar, who played with Neil Diamond for years.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Luzinger and Pete Wozner and Bob Ray on bass. Man, Bob Ray had played in, you know, Muscle Shoals sessions his whole life.
Yeah.
And so these guys brought most of the energy to these songs. And I didn't want to cut Small Town Saturday Night.
Why is that?
Well, the demo was kind of like this reggae, funky, kind of folky thing.
Right.
And Alan Reynolds just took me aside and he said, Hal, I'm afraid I'm going to have to insist. You know, I'm just going to have to insist. And I think you'll thank me for it. And I can't thank him enough. You know? It's fantastic. Because when, you know, I remember it was August 16th. I don't even remember the year, maybe 93, 94, somewhere there.
Mm.
And it went to number one. And I was riding with John Brown, who was a promo guy for Curb Records, you know, visiting stations and dropping these records on these guys.
Yeah.
And we pulled over the side of the road and just cranked it up and just boogied, man. Just danced our little tails off. Yeah, it was a very special time for me. Absolutely. And again, those songs really never go away. I mean, yeah, good work just stands up for forever.
As it should.
I've been real blessed. And now, man, I make a great little living. You know, I live in Fisher, Texas.
Nice.
Population, 8 people.
Oh, right.
I kid you not. It's population. There are 8 people in Fisher, Texas. And we live up on a hill in this beautiful little house that we restored. And life is mighty good, I'll tell you. And my lifeblood is playing music and always will be. You know.
I mean, can you imagine that? If you could go back and talk to your younger version of yourself and you said that that's how your life was going to turn out, you'd have country hits on the radio, you'd be living on this, you know, quiet little house on a hill in Texas, you'd be like, I'm doing all right.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, I do. I wake up and I'm grateful every morning. I thank the maker every day. I go out on the porch, I pray to the four winds, and I just say, thank you, God. But it's been a hell of a ride.
That's awesome. Well, let's keep the ride going for a little bit longer at the Birchmere, sir. Thanks so much for taking the time to come on and talk with us, and we look forward to see you out in Virginia. We really appreciate it.
All right, brother. All right, I appreciate you, son. Take care of yourself.
You too.
Adios. Bye.